And we were just thinking, there is nothing quite like the sound of a loon. A loon call in New York's Adirondacks, courtesy of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Ely, Minnesota has a human loon calling contest on its annual Loony Day. We love loons. And so we snapped to attention when we heard New Hampshire's Loon Preservation Committee, yes, there is such a thing, has reported two loon poisonings this summer, both of them after loons ingested lead sinkers and jigs left behind by fishermen. Now, all lead sinkers and jigs weighing less than an ounce are banned in freshwater lakes and rivers in the state. But now the state is offering a buyback program to encourage fishermen to turn in old gear just in case. Harry Vogel is senior biologist and executive director at the Loon Preservation Committee. He joins us from New Hampshire. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. It's good to be here.
And start by telling us about loons for people who are trying to picture them. What do they look like?
So loons are these amazing birds. They range up to 15 or 16 pounds in size for a big male here in New England. Towards the center in Minnesota and Michigan, they run a little bit smaller than that. But they have these distinctive black and white plumage. They have this blood red eye, and they have these amazing and far-reaching calls.
Right.
And in fact, one of my very favorite quotes about loons comes from a British researcher who way back in the 1950s described the nighttime calling of loons as a chorus from all of the devils in hell.
Whoa! And
so if you love these birds, you know, if you've heard those calls, you either love them or they send chills up and down your spine,
right.
But you're not likely to forget them once you've heard them or the bird that made them.
Well, we're going to hear some more of them and we're going to have sounds and pictures posted at herenow.org. But how are they ingesting this lead gear? Is it something somebody's thrown away or is the line in the water? Do they think it's food? What's going on?
We think that there are actually three different ways that loons can ingest lead tackle. And so going back to a little bit of basic loon biology, so loons have no teeth. The consequence of that is that loons, having no teeth, can't chew their food. So they swallow their fish whole, and then they follow that up by swallowing small pebbles from the lake bottom. And they use those pebbles as surrogate teeth to grind up the fish that they've just eaten. So they hold those in the gizzard, the muscular portion of their stomach. And that has served loons well for millions of years. But in the past 200 or so years, it's resulted in a big challenge for loons. And that challenge is these little split-shot lead fishing sinkers. And those sinkers, turns out, they're about the same size as the pebbles they're looking for.
Mm.
But when they swallow those pebbles, you know, the grinding action of the gizzard and the stomach acids, they end up taking that lead and dissolving it, and it goes throughout their body, and it poisons those birds.
Huh.
But we now think that there are two other ways that loons ingest lead fishing tackle that's actually more common. And so the most common prey item for a loon is probably a small yellow perch, maybe 6 or 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
But loons will, on occasion, catch and eat a larger fish. And when you're talking about a fish that's larger than an 8-inch yellow perch, you're beginning to get to a size range that could conceivably break an angler's line. And that fish is still going to be trailing that line, and the hook and the sinker or the lead-headed jig that's attached to it, and that fish is going to be a little bit slower than the fish next to it. It's going to be swimming a little bit erratically, and that's the fish a loon is going to zero in on as an easy meal. It gets the sinker or the lead-headed jig as well. And then finally, if you're fishing, you're trying to catch a fish, but you could catch a loon instead because a loon's instinct is to strike at something if it flashes by it in the water.
Oh, what a terrible thing that would be for the angler to have a loon on the end of your line. And you know, I'm thinking as you're describing this that lead can't be good for a lot of reasons in our fresh water. So your state has banned it, and you're doing this buyback program. Just before we find out about that, just tell us, nationwide, are other states doing the same kind of thing? Because lead in the water can't be good.
Absolutely. You know, and this is not just a loon issue. So loons are kind of the tip of the iceberg, and it's so many things. Loons are an indicator of environmental problems that are affecting a lot more than just loons. And so we know of at least 28 different species that will ingest lead sinkers or lead-headed jigs and subsequently die of lead poisoning. And the EPA, in a report done several years now, identified 75 species that they thought were at risk from this same thing. If you expand that to lead ammunition, you get up into the hundreds of species. But this is only lead fishing tackle that we're talking about here.
So to the buyback program, what are you offering to give fishermen, and are they responding? Are they giving up their old lead tackle?
You know, here's the thing, Robin. There are a bunch of things that you can make tackle out of. And that includes tin and bismuth and tungsten and steel and stone, these new composite materials. And loons can swallow any of those, and it will likely be just fine. But the smallest little split-shot sinker that you can think of, if it's made of lead, is going to kill that bird within 2 to 4 weeks of ingesting it. So we're not asking people to stop fishing. We're just asking them to get rid of their old lead tackle and replace it with new, non-toxic, wildlife-safe tackle. And we want to help them do that. So we are working with New Hampshire Fish and Game and local tackle shops in New Hampshire to give out $10 vouchers to anybody handing in an ounce or more of this lead fishing tackle that they're not allowed to sell or use anymore anyway. So they can use those vouchers to buy new non-toxic tackle or other fishing gear.
Well, and it seemed to work. In 2018, 124 out of your 200 vouchers were claimed, resulting in the collection of 4,786 pieces of lead tackle weighing 29 pounds, 29 pounds that is not going in loons. We read last year there were 8 loons killed after eating the sinkers. This can't be good for the population. And let's remind people why we love them so much. As I said, we have some sound. On this tape we're going to play, we hear 4 different sounds of loons. You're going to be hearing the hoot, right, and the yodel, the whale call, the tremolo. Let's listen. So Harry Vogel, that last one, as I said, the hoot, a one-note call mainly used by family members to try to find each other. But tell us about the yodel.
The yodel is a male-only call. If there's a male loon yodeling on the water, it means that male is claiming that territory. And he's saying, if you're another male hearing me give this call, then stay away. And if you're female, then come on over.
And do I understand that every single loon has a different yodel? And so my question is, are there birders, for instance, in your area, who would know the different loons by their yodels?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and we know that the loons themselves can make use of that. So if you pick up the phone, you know immediately who's on the other end of that phone talking with you. Loons have that same ability to recognize their neighbors by those calls.
Before that, we heard the whale call. Oh, this one, the hair on your arm rises. Maybe it's, you know, a call to a mate.
It can easily be. Typically, loons will sleep on the water. Unless they're sitting on an egg and incubating eggs at nighttime, both of those adults will be out in the water in their territory. They'll fall asleep, and over the course of the evening, they will begin to drift away from each other. And then one to the other will wake up. They'll give that whale call. That wakes up its mate, who gives that call back, and then they move towards each other. And so from those activities, we infer the meaning of that call to be, here I am, where are you, come closer.
Oh, that is so romantic. Okay. And then, of course, the tremolo, it's called the crazy laugh. It can sound, well, crazy.
Yes, it can be an alarm call, but sometimes also I'll be in a lake in the morning and people will say, oh, something terrible must have happened on the lake because the loons were tremoloing all night. It's contextual. And so sometimes a male and a female will tremolo back and forth to each other. And again, it's advertising territory. It's pair bonding and doing those sorts of things.
Boy, again, we'll have some of these sounds at hearnow.org. And a link so that if people want to get the lead out of their fishing tackle to help save loons, they can do that. But I guess, you know, Harry Vogel, what we're also hearing from you is this summer, get to a lake and listen to a loon.
Absolutely.
Harry Vogel, senior biologist, executive director at the Loon Preservation Committee. Harry, are you the sole member of the Loon Preservation Committee? Are there more of you?
No, we actually, have more than 1,000 volunteers throughout the state.
Wonderful.
In our mission to recover these birds.
Okay. Well, check and see if your area has them as well and find out about lead sinker buyback programs. Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Robin. It's really a pleasure. Thanks for your interest in this serious problem for loons.